200 years since they invaded Aboriginal land.
The land belongs to us. We belong to the land.
Government is trying to take away from us.
Don't call me a problem. I am not the problem. I have never left my country, nor have I ceded any part of it.
Let's talk. Triple A's flagship program that continues to elevate the diverse voices of First Nations people across the country. Centered around the unceded sovereignty of First Nations people in this country, honouring the history with a solutions-based focus on the future. With your host, Pomeroy journalist, Danny Tierce Johnson.
Yama, hello and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Danny Tierce Johnson, Gomeroi journalist from Moree, New South Wales. Shout out to the Murray. Today, I'd like to welcome the country. I acknowledge the traditional owners from the lands that we broadcast from, and I extend that greeting all across this beautiful black nation of ours today. To wherever you're listening, your elders past and present, particularly up to the northwest community of Dalangra, where my guest comes from today. After the award-winning Hottest 100 history-making success of her debut album, Better in Black, Everything's Better in Black, My Peoples, Thelma Plum is ready to accelerate into a new era, hey? Thelma Plum, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I've been wanting to interview you for a long time now. You're a mad sister. I'm a massive fan of your work.
Thank you.
Ever since, yeah, back in the day, 2000, winning the Deadly Award.
Oh, my goodness, so long ago, 2012.
Back in the deadly days.
10 years ago.
What? Yeah. See, black don't crack, sis.
Oh,
only,
my gosh.
You're only
Stop.
Young. You're only young.
Thank you very much.
No auntie titles here just yet.
Absolutely not.
Sis, before we get into the yarn around the new track, can you tell us your mob, your country, and can you tell me a little bit about your community of Dalangra?
Dalangra.
I love Dalangra.
Dalangra, so funny, Dalangra. Okay, so I'm from Moree too. My family from Moree, Gamilaroi woman. Dalangra is, so my grandparents had a farm outside of Dalangra. So grew up in Brizzy, but I spent a lot of time living with my grandparents when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. I would go back there a bit and went to Dalangra Public School for a while, a few times. I loved spending time there. It's funny now, being a grown-up, I definitely, like, appreciate it a lot more. When I was a kid, I feel like I would often, you know, I'd be like, oh, I miss the big smoke.
Yeah.
Miss the city life. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, looking back, I feel very grateful that I got to, I feel really grateful I got to experience that.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, when we're little and we come from out west in little communities, we dream of the big smoke and the big city lights, but like you said, when we get older, we realise that it's those communities, that landscape that shapes us. So,
yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about Backseat of My Mind. This is your first song in about 3 years, sis. And it finds you reflecting on where you've been and where you're going. Tell us a little bit about it. It's a mad song.
Thank you very much.
Tony Midlow came in and showed us the other day here with our station manager, and me and Dan Ranney just kept playing it over and over.
Oh, stop.
Because we're big fans of yours, sis. Big fans.
You've always been real good to me. Look, I would have liked to have a song out sooner than, you know, it's been 3 years since I last released music, but obviously we have gone through a little bit since then. I had actually written new music before COVID. Mm-hmm. I was in London. I was working with a producer there and was writing all this new music, working on it, and then obviously had to come home because the pandemic happened. And, so much time passed and I felt like those songs were... So much had happened in the world that I felt like they were not relevant to me anymore. I felt really detached from them because so much, had happened in the world that I was like, I don't want to be singing about this, I don't know. It didn't feel right. So when we were in lockdown, Yeah, this was one of them. And I kind of wrote them as they belong together. So...
And I actually find that a real strength that you've been able to let songs go.
Well, I'm like, well, I might keep them for something.
They might come back at another time.
Yeah, but it is really hard to do that, though. I find it really difficult to do that because, you put so much work into it and I don't know, you know, I'm being vulnerable and singing about these parts of me. And then when you are like, when you decide to scrap it, it feels, I don't know, it can feel like sad, you know, like am I don't know, but yeah, it was a hard decision, but it also felt natural and it felt right. If I didn't have this new music, then I probably wouldn't have done that. But
tell me about the process of writing Backseat of My Mind, and just how you come up with that, because I love it. It's just, for me, it's a simple song, but it's also, I love the film clip, the visualizer, as they call it.
Oh, yeah.
Anything with a dog in it.
Oh, my God, stop. My family dog, don't. My mum is absolutely loving that text. He's a cream kelpie, failed farm dog, and she's just literally, like, just loving it that that he's getting this much airtime now, too. But, yeah, it's nice, you know, I don't know, I was sitting on my balcony when I wrote this song. I don't know, I just was like reflecting on, I don't know, I guess this is like the first time that I've spent in Meanjin for years, like a good chunk of time. You know, I guess I'm normally like on the road or whatever, but I don't know, this was the first time in ages that I'd been home, and I just was reflecting on that, and I just feel very happy to be here. I wanted to sing about that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you look at the visualizer, you see the dog there, and I know you see you're driving around over Brizzy.
Yeah, in the background, yeah.
And I was like, is that a drone or is it a car or is it... You know, it flies around Brizzy.
Yeah, just driving.
Just driving.
That was not me driving. That was... and drive.
No, I love it. It's a great song and...
thank you.
Yeah, I just love your music, sis.
Oh, stop it.
I do. Big fanboy over here.
Stop it.
Hey, can you tell me about your early influences of music? Because I'm really interested to find out this because I grew up with a single mama and I remember we moved from Moree out to Ballarat.
Yep.
And, you know, we went out there for a number of different reasons, but that's where I really remember my life back then. And mum used to play Ricky Lee Jones, Carly Simon, all these sort of music.
Beautiful.
So I'm real lucky that I grew up with a mum that I did and passed on this musical knowledge for me. And that's helped shape me, and it taught me feminism quite young and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Wow, cool, yeah.
But I'm wondering for you, like, what were your early influences and what shaped you?
Well, you know, my mum too. Like, I definitely, that was... I mean, my mum worked here at this radio for a while when
I was
a baby. Yeah, which is really funny. I don't know if my dad... I'm like, did my dad too? I don't know. Yeah, can you guys find out? I mean, I know my brother did. But, you know, I feel very lucky in the sense that I feel like my mum's not musical, but she's always been an avid music lover. So I, like you, I feel like I was exposed from a very young age to a lot of really nice music, especially also being with my grandparents on a farm. Like often, you know, my grandfather would listen to a lot of country music, country western music. And so I feel like I grew up listening to like a lot of that too. And yeah, I mean, I love country music, so, which was also, we had a lot of country music references for the production for Backseat of My Mind, too,
yeah, right.
Which was, just because I love the production of country music. I think it's beautiful and very special and, where am I going with this? But
we're just going tangents.
Just having a chat. But yeah, I guess, yeah, lots of country influences. Obviously, like the big one that I talk about all the time is Paul Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really big, he was a huge influence on me growing up and like how I wanted to, you know, write songs and how I wanted to like play the guitar, all of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he a good dude, Paul Kelly?
Yeah, great dude. Yeah, it was...
Because we need some good dudes in the music industry.
Sure do. Yeah, we do, don't we? yeah, he's really good. I just played some shows with him. I was supporting him in Sydney, which was just, I mean, we played at the Opera House. It was insane. I've never... it was very fun. I just, yeah, was absolutely like... My mind was blown. Never did I think that career, like, making moment. I was like, it could all end, finish now and I'll be very happy, you know?
I know he might be supporting you.
Oh, my gosh, stop.
Just quietly.
Sorry, worry.
But, yeah, I love hearing that. I actually freaked him out once.
Oh, what did you do?
Because, you know, me, I'm loud and proud Maori fella, so I'm pretty out there, especially after a couple of sherbets. So we're in Byron Bay once and we're at this restaurant and I looked around. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, and Paul Kelly was right behind me. And I was like, Uncle! Just full claiming.
I love that. Fuck, Paul's just claimed him.
Yeah, and Yeah, he just, I didn't realise that he's a very shy guy.
He's very shy, and, yes.
Yeah, I brought a lot of attention to him that he didn't really want.
Don't stop. You're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry, unks.
Sorry, uncle. He is very, he's very introverted. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, I'm a bit stupid and naive sometimes, so you think musos are very out there and loud people because they're on stage, but often as you get older, they're the opposite. They're complete introverts and don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah, which is, I can't really relate to, if I'm being honest. I'm like, I wish I was a little bit more introverted, but anyway.
Yeah, don't we all?
Gosh.
Save yourself a lot of trouble over the years. Hey, sis, let's talk about COVID because I've been reading about, it seems like, COVID put the big pause button on the world.
Sure did, yeah.
And for me, I used it, I think you did the same thing in reading when I was reading, but I used it to press the pause button on my life. Mm-hmm. I totally flipped my life.
Yeah.
I left my big paying job down another media.
Yeah.
I left my big paying rent, rental unit that I was living in Sydney.
See ya.
And I went up to Byron Bay. I stayed with my auntie up there. I became a hippie in Nimmin for a little bit.
Love
and
that.
I just totally flipped my life.
Yeah.
And I was just, because I was just on this path of, journalism that I wasn't happy with mm-hmm. and, away from community. And now I'm back with community.
Yeah.
So I used that whole COVID thing for positive. Is that similar for you, do you think?
Absolutely. I do think
you
that
used
it
is.
I just feel like, for me, I had to do that because So I feel like I said before, this is the first time that I've been still in one place for so long, like in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I usually get a bit like antsy if I'm somewhere for too long. I'll be like, oh, I need to go get away somewhere. I need to go do something. But I don't know. I think that this kind of forced me to be like, to reflect on the other things that are not just music related. So like, where do I want to be? Like, what are the things that are important to me? Which for me, that's family, that's my friends, my cat, I don't know. It definitely forced me to think about the things that really are important to me and that I value. But like outside of music as well, just because, music is still, it's my identity, it's a huge part of me, but for so long that has kind of just been my whole world, and so it was really nice to be able to just be like, I don't know, to put a bit of a pause on life and think about, obviously it was not nice, it was horrible, all of it, but I feel lucky in the sense of that.
You've seen a lot of musos out there struggle and couldn't perform, and this whole concert by Zoom, please stop everybody, no more Zoom concert. I watch YouTube video clips of all I watch people.
Zoom concerts, that's so funny.
Yeah, no more Zoom concerts. But, that sort of stuff happened. A lot of musos struggled, but I saw a lot of people as well just say, okay, let's use this sickness across the world as an advantage mm-hmm. to change our lives and change course and change direction.
Yeah, for sure. I absolutely agree with that. It's, been a time, that's for sure.
Yeah, because I remember I had Jess Mowboy in here a couple of weeks ago, and I've had Emily Woodamara, and speaking to a lot of the sisters that are just, Emma Donovan, like just magic sisters. Lee Flanagan I spoke to the other day, but I was talking about all the sisters so much across the world and across Australia that I was asking the questions like, you feel like your spirit's getting stretched.
Yeah.
And then it's like an elastic band sometimes. Yep. Sometimes it's going to break.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're missing that grounding of being back on country and like you said, sitting still for a couple of years, can you talk about that for our, the audiences out there? Because I feel for you, it's really hard living out of a suitcase and travelling with a little musical posse and being away from family and friends for so long.
It's hard, and also like the toll it takes, like I think that people, I don't know, I just don't think it takes on your body and like also like your physical health and like mental health, really late nights and it's usually too late, to eat dinner, a lot of singers won't eat before they perform, so it's like, then you have to eat after you play, and then by that time it's like, midnight, 1 a.m. and then
you're hangry
all the time, literally on tour. But it can be really tricky, and so that is why it's so important to have that time, making sure, you do the things that will make you feel better, whether that's going to country, whether that's being around your family, whether that's, whatever that is for you, whatever that looks like. But I think that during this time, yeah, this COVID time, I definitely, that gave me a chance to figure out what those things were. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because I always think as fans, we take it for granted, our artists, and we expect to just perform on the drop of a hat and just totally disregard your whole lives other than the stage, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's, me and Leah Flanagan talk a lot about that. She travels around the world a lot.
She does.
And, you know, now as a mother, she's doing it and having that time to sit and ground, and she says she takes little items with her to ground her and get home and stuff like that.
But, oh, beautiful.
But, you know, when you're young, it's quite hard to say what you want.
Yeah.
Until you get a bit older and a bit more bossy.
Yeah, for sure. That is a real thing. I definitely used to not be as, confident in, I didn't have as much, I know what I'm doing and I know the things I need to do what I do, so... But, yeah, when I was younger, I wasn't. 10 years ago, wasn't as good as at
when
as I know.
Little Turley was unearthed.
I know, when I was unearthed. I went to Darwin.
Let's talk about males in the music industry. I know you've had some tough times with some lead singers and bands, well publicised.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, how is that? Has the music industry changed from you now? And I know you've been working... You did a little bit of work from, what's his name, Dave from Gang of Youths?
Oh,
is he a good fella?
Oh, my gosh, an earth angel, just like, honestly.
I love Gang of Youths. Yeah. I love what they brought to the Arias that year when they did the acceptance speech and everything.
Yeah, I did too, yeah. He's beautiful. I could not say, I could sit here talking about him for hours. He's a really, truly someone that is very special to me, and he's amazing. But, yeah, we do need, you know, he's a great example of, I guess, you know, this type of man that, I mean, I feel like I would like to be on a festival bill with.
Yeah,
and
comfortable and safe and respected.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, oh, it's hard, you know, but I guess, you know, I feel like I'm saying this every few years, like, you know, there's changes coming and things like that. But, I mean, it does seem like change is coming and I don't know, I just... It's so hard. Sometimes if I think about it too much, it's like, it can be really disheartening.
One thing I've always really appreciated about you is your strength to call shit out. You call out toxic masculinity. You call out racism. And, you know, I think that's a real strength. And I know how hard it is for you too.
Yeah.
I know what, you know, you get media attention on you don't want. You get other musical acts looking at you going, oh, she's going to call us racist.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I won't even mention the other group that we had run-ins years ago with.
Yep.
I actually went to town on them a few years ago too.
I love that for you. Yeah. Love that you did that.
That's Black Journos got together and said, we went in like Maury Mob do.
It's nice, you know, having the support though. Like it is, I definitely felt that from Mob at the time, which is, you know, interesting that I didn't feel that at all from like a lot of other people in my industry. But, you know, again, things have changed a lot and I feel like I'm just, I don't know. I just want to live a happy life and I don't know. It's, you know, I don't want to have to worry about stuff like this. It's like how I just want to be able to do my job and like to not have to worry about those other things. But it's just, it is the way it is. So
it's because you're too deadly and just rattle the cage for some other non-Indigenous artist, I think, eh?
Stop it.
Might be. Hey, what's coming up for you? I know this. I had a look. There's some tour stuff happening.
Yeah. Got some
shows. Yay, we got live shows again, people.
Woo.
I looked at one here in Brizzy on the 30th of September, I think.
At the one with Vance Joy.
Yeah.
Which is just so exciting. Yep. I think he's so sweet. So I'm really excited about that. And also at River Stage, which is like, you know, I remember the first time, you know, I remember going to River Stage. I remember my mum taking me to see the Cat Empire at River Stage. When I was really young, and I remember being like, oh, I probably can't say that on the radio anyway, but I just remember being like, this is an interesting place. And what is that smell everywhere, mum?
I've got a story about the Cat Empire too, but I can't say it on radio. Shout out to my little brother in Silverwater Jail. He knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey?
It's really funny.
Yeah, kitties. The Cat Empire are great. I loved all those sort of bands that come through and they were fun. And
it was fun. And, you know,
musical.
I still remember that River Stage experience and, yeah.
What is that smell, mum?
I just remember my mum being like, oh, dear. And I was like, it smells so gross. Anyway, we'll leave it there.
we are looking forward to the upcoming shows. And I guess, you know, having a little break or just a little grounding after a couple of years to be able to go and perform again? Because you, oh, I don't get too carried away, but you know, you are a quite extraordinary singer.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Like, when the women used to doing the Better in Black, when we did the original 100 stuff, and we're filming in the studios there, and I was just sitting there just going, oh my God, because I've never seen you up close before.
No, don't.
And when you're singing, I was like, oh, just, how do you, like, because you never really got trained, that you just.
No, I was not trained, just always have been singing. Mm. Yeah, but like always. Mum reckons even when I was like a baby, I would just sing and like coo notes or whatever. But I mean, I love singing, always have. I really love performing. Like I do. There's something that I just love about being on stage and getting.
Was that always the way?
Was
that something you had to sort of, a craft you had to learn and get that confidence?
Do you know what? It is something I've always loved, but it is something that obviously I have at times, you know, struggled with it. But I feel like, you know, as in with like nerves and anxiety and things like that, but I really truly do love, I thrive when I perform, and I just like, and I've always felt like that. So I don't know. It's just something like, especially with songs that, you know, like new songs, like I'm really excited to be able to play Backseat of My Mind, like at all these new shows, especially like after it's been out for a couple of months, like that's really exciting to me. So yeah
because there's so many great Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander singers out there, but a lot of them just got that shame to jump up on stage.
Right. Eh? Yeah,
and that's what I appreciate when I, you know, meet young sisters like yourselves and, you know, young artists. Like I love talking to Dobby.
Dobby.
Yeah, because I've got all these crew, like him and Barker hanging out.
Don't. They're both, you know? I mean, I love Barker. I love Chloe.
Yeah.
I think that she's just, she's so deadly, so amazing. I watched her. I saw her play. She was singing at Fashion Week. And, like, you know, this is during the Indigenous fashion show. And there's, like, people, like, models, like, walking beside her. And while she's, like, you know, rapping, just like, and I don't know, she's incredible. I honestly am in awe of her. I really love her.
She's very unique. I don't think we've seen anything like her before.
No, I don't think so either, yeah.
But I see that. So there's all this young crew out there at the moment, yourself, Barker, Dobby, Tassie Keith.
Another great one.
And then yous are also woke, like yous are just good people.
Yous
are just calling stuff out because yous wanted to, I don't know, I was talking to Barks about it the other day and Tassie Keith because we had Black Divism up here and I was like, it looks like yous are changing the industry to the ways that yous are wanting it and yous are all sticking together and like little squads now, you know, looking out for each other and supporting each other because everyone has their battles, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But it seems like this real click, like beautiful click of young black artists just sharing.
Yeah, sharing.
I haven't seen it before.
It's really amazing and dominating as well, like honestly. But I really, Tasman and Barker, I just think that they are absolute game changers. Like, that's what I think when I think about them and their music. I think that it's just on another level, yeah.
Because that's what we think about you too. You're a game changer.
Stop it.
You know, who's done a song with Paul McCartney here in this country?
I mean,
nobody. You know? Just get Paul McCartney on the track there.
Stop it. I will ride.
See, Gomeroy Hustler. Yeah. That's why.
Don't. I will, to the day I die, I will use that one.
How'd you get Paul on the track?
Just asked him. No, no.
Facebook,
hey, hey, is it okay if I'm? No, I was working with a producer in New York City, and this is years ago now. I'm trying to think of, honestly, COVID has made me forget like what year we're in and all of my time is like just not, you know, not great.
2019
but,
or
yeah, I'm like,
somewhere.
Where are we? What day am I? Where am I? But I was in New York City and the producer I was working with like often works with Paul McCartney, which I was like, I know. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you know, we've just like Paul and I, we just sometimes, I mean, he was American, but I'm not going to do his accent, but he was like,
I do it.
No, I can't. Like, you know, Paul and I, but you know, they work together and he's like, yeah, so he always like visits the studio and we'll like pop in to get something. And I mean, I was like, this is insane. Can't believe this. Anyway, one day I came into this, I wasn't in the studio this day and I remember I was in Brooklyn and I got a message from my producer being like, you'll never believe what happened. And I was like, I probably won't, after what he told me. And yeah, so Paul McCartney had like come into the studio and, he'd heard David, my producer, like, you know, playing the song and, like, tweaking it or whatever. This song called Made For You, which I had written with Paul Kelly, which is crazy already. Yeah. Like, already I was like, this is just, what is my life? And Paul McCartney heard it, and David Kahn, my producer, had been like, yeah, she wrote this, you know, this is, you know, Aboriginal woman Thelma Plum from, you know, Australia. This is a song she wrote with Paul Kelly, and he knew who Paul Kelly was. Paul Kelly was a huge fan of Paul Kelly, which doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, and then he was like, mind if I lay something down? Like, I have an idea for guitar. And David was like, I don't think Thelma will mind. And, I mean, I don't mind. It's really fine. Yeah. Yeah,
okay, Paul. Okay.
I mean, I guess. Like,
have a crack off.
Yeah. And so he did. He wrote this little guitar part for it, and just crazy. Like, anyway, I just was beside myself, and but I was also like kicking myself that I wasn't in the studio that day and that I missed it. But you know, like when he came like a year later, a year and a half later, to perform, like to tour in Australia, and I was invited to the show, which was really exciting, and I got to meet him before him. It was just crazy. It was insane. And I, you know, my manager brought my dad. It was just...
Really?
Yeah, it was really deadly. It was really nice.
Did he behave?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he tried. But, yeah, it was really nice, yeah.
This is the closest I'll ever get to a Beatle.
Oh, my God, stop.
No, because my young fella, he's only 18, he's a guitarist. He's pretty deadly too, the lad. And he's a Beatles fan.
Oh, good on
him. He loves it, yeah. So I'll have to tell him this story.
Oh, good on him.
Closest we'll ever get, my son.
Oh, stop.
Free Arnie Telly.
You never know.
Yeah. Hey, that's a beautiful story. But, you know, deadly things happen to deadly people.
No, it's not.
You know?
Yeah,
you deserve it. Hey, talking about things deadly, I just want to talk about the fashion industry. Because you are fashion. Fashion, how do you say it?
Fashion.
No, because the Aboriginal fashion industry and the Torres Strait Islander fashion industry has just taken off in the last 10 years, like particularly the last five.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing now down at Melbourne with Fashion Week and up in Darwin, it just blows me away that you love about fashion, and because you're a bit of an iconic fashionista yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Look, I tell you, I have always loved, you know, like... I've always loved all things fashion. Like, I loved, you know, looking in magazines when I was growing up, and, you know, which I have sung about before. I've written about, you know, what that felt like, looking at a lot of these magazines and seeing them and not really seeing myself represented much, and how, yep, you know, how what that does to your mind as a little girl. I just think, it's not a great feeling. And I don't know, but I just loved looking at all the nice clothes, and, you know, I've always loved this sort of stuff, but I guess I just never, like, you know, I didn't really know anybody in this world or, like, have any idea how to, you know, I've always loved, like, putting, like, when I grew up, like, my mum said that I used to always love, you know, like, putting my own outfits together, and my mum is, like, a big fashion inspiration, loves, like, she really taught me about, like, I mean, we always went to op shops, like, that was where I got all my clothes, you know, or, like, hand-me-downs, yeah, whatever, and I would always make, you know, like, really, she reckons, like, you know, pretty deadly outfits out of them all, and, you know, be very, like, I was like, no, I'll make my own outfit, like, you don't get to choose what I wear, I'm going to choose. So it just, I don't know, I've always wanted to do this, and always wanted to kind of, like, be in that world, and it feels really, I feel very grateful that I actually feel like a bit like a deer in headlights. Like, when I was at Sydney Fashion Week, there was a bit of, like, imposter syndrome that I was like, am I meant to be here? Do I fit? Do I, you know, what's going on? Where am I? But it was so fun. And honestly, this is not even just me saying this. This is what so many people, so much feedback that I heard from that the First Nations fashion design show was the best out of the whole week of Sydney Fashion Week. It was just like, you know, it was the closing show. It was incredible. Designers like Steve and Clothing the Gaps. It was just like, I've never, and you know, that was when Bach was singing, like Arnie Christine was singing. It was just, I was sitting next to Emily Waramara, like Bianca Hunt. It was just like, I felt so special. And so,
fashion icons.
I know all these deadly women, and it was really exciting. And there's just so much talent, yeah. But that show was the best show.
Mm. So I see it as a real expression of sort of our art, but mostly our identity.
Yeah.
And I can just see you bringing that world into your film clips and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, just put it out there, Tone, you know. But, yeah, you could really fuse all that together because, yeah, it is art. And, you know, what you do is artsy, you know.
Oh, well, thank
so
that's you beautiful. Very much. Thank you.
So you got some shows coming up.
Yep.
You're heading back up to Darwin where it all began.
I am heading back up to Darwin. Were you in Darwin when 10 years ago? Yeah. That's when. Is that when we first?
I think so, yeah. I was getting ITV Journal up there.
Goodness me.
And
wow.
I didn't know back then that you were a spirit.
It's so funny. That's so funny.
Otherwise, I would have claimed it straight
away. I know. That's very funny. Well,
probably 10 years later.
Goodness me. Yeah.
But look, Thelma, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your music.
Oh, stop it.
We can't wait for more. Honestly, it's just, yeah, we just love it. And it's sort of, you know, young sisters to older brothers to uncles and aunties, we all love your music. And we all just support you anyway and, yeah, what you do out there. And we appreciate, you know, you calling stuff out over the years. You know, it's a real strength that you have in your character and we just really appreciate it, Montgomery sister.
Oh, thank you very much.
So that's Thelma Plum. Her new single's out, Backseat in My Mind, was it?
Backseat in My Mind.
Backseat of My Mind. I'm in the backseat of some people's minds out there, I'm sure, people's. But, yeah, you can go onto Spotify, iTunes, her website, get her music. She's going to be performing back here in Brizzy too soon, so get amongst it. Thelma Plum, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yoo-hoo. You've been listening to Let's Talk on AAA Murray Country.
Without you, oh, you had to go and hurt someone who meant a lot to me. Was it worth it? Did she deserve it? Or was it just your way of getting back to me? Or was it just your way of getting back to me? Just your way of getting back at me.